I would like us to read the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1, please. And it's verse 3. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I don't know my Bible well enough to know if this verse is unique, but I think it is. It's a couplet wrapped up in a triplet. Return to me, and I will return to you. And within that couplet, there's another, because twice over, Zechariah uses the little Hebrew word shub, that was a fixation to Naomi on the way back from Moab, when in the company of Orpah and Ruth, she did her utmost to make them go back. And she used God's word to do the opposite of what God wants. She says, go back, return. And ultimately, Orpah did, and Ruth didn't. And Naomi and Ruth went forward to fulfill in their day what Zechariah was appealing for in his day, as the voice of God came through him. Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you. Thus says the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts. That's the triplet. The word thus is very different from the word this. You get the word this in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And God willing, we'll have a look at that aspect of it tomorrow night when we're in Armagh. The little word for thus in the Hebrew language is kol. And when you look back to the days of Moses, when he wasn't quite at his best, and he saw the Egyptian, and it says he looked this way and that way, that's the word kol. This way and that way. Thus says the Lord. This way and that way. And then you move forward into the book of Numbers when the people were appealing for meat instead of the manna that God had richly provided for them. And it says the quails came in from the sea and they landed on the ground on this side and on that side. And thus says the Lord of hosts, on this side and that side. And going back to Ruth and Naomi on the way home from Moab, back to Bethlehem, Ephrathah. And Ruth finally says to Naomi, listen here. And she poured out that tremendous conviction of her. Entreat me not to leave you or to go back. Don't ever use the word shub to me again. I don't want to hear it. It's not in my vocabulary, says Ruth. And finally she says, and the Lord do so to me and much more also. So, and much more. is the word ko. Thus says the Lord of hosts. And as he speaks, he says so, and more also. There came the day when a message was to be given to Ahab, the king, and God wondered who would speak. And he says, who will go to Ahab and speak to him in this manner or in that manner? Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this manner and in that manner. Thus is different from this. It has more to do with the content being extended to the extent, but including the intent of why it's being said. And God is saying it in such a way that you and I might know the real impact of thus says the Lord. For he says it that there might be conviction and correction, that there might also be instruction and motivation. And it's really God's way of drawing into one word that the whole desire of the heart of God is that his aims and the Lord's aims might become our aims. And we'll live thus. Just one word. Both Stephens have spoken to us very powerfully from the Word of God. There's nothing more unique than the New Covenant. And there's nothing more unique than the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, who came that that New Covenant might be applied to us, and that you and I would be empowered to live it. Wonderful to have the face of God manifested. But he wants that manifestation to be transferred to your face until the glow of the Lord Jesus Christ is transmitted through you, and that others might see Christ in you. There was a man just like Ian, doing Ian's job at a conference one day. And he had the far greater privilege of introducing a wonderful man. And as he introduced this brother, he could hardly find superlatives enough to describe him. And he spoke about him as being great. And finally, the man stepped forward and he says, dear friends, I'm just the little servant of the Lord, and I have an illustrious master. Thus says the Lord appears 420 times in the Old Testament of your Bible, and it doesn't appear once in the whole of the New. Why not? It doesn't even appear in the book of Genesis. Why not? You go back to the Garden of Eden. There's something in the fall that caused God to start to speak in a way they'd never spoken before. And so in the first three chapters of Genesis, you don't get thus says the Lord. And even in the conversations with Adam and Eve, you don't get and the Lord said. that begins and is used 18 times in the rest of the book of Genesis. He addresses the adversary with it. And he speaks among themselves as the triune God with it. I wonder why there's no "thus says the Lord" in the Garden of Eden. I'd like to suggest to you, it's the very same reason as you don't find it in the New Testament, because the Lord was here. The triune God were on earth. Come, let us make man. And in that Trinity, they worked and brought Adam and Eve with all the other wonders of the garden into being, in the expectation that Adam and Eve would be captivated with the thought of the workmanship of God as he spoke to them in this way, and captivated with fellowship with God as he spoke to them in that way, and captivated with stewardship for God as they shared together with him on this manner and in that manner. And in the breadth of the divine expectation, Adam and Eve had the opportunity of showing back to God that they felt the impact, the reality of the presence of God. Now, if what Belfast Stephen was saying to us is right, our faces should shine. We used to speak to the folks in Burma, and you would say, "Are you really living in the joy of the Lord?" And they would all sit there and go. That's how we live a lot of the time. My mother used to say to me, "Why is your face tripping you?" You get men in churches of God, their faces are tripping them. And you get women who are just as capable. You and I are living in the new covenant, coupled with what Birmingham Stephen was sharing with us. Presence of the Holy Spirit in you and in me is the inward ability of the outwardly shining face. These two fellows were in harmony because the Spirit of God and the new covenant of God are in harmony. And you and I in our day, fallen as we are, yet graciously retrieved by new covenant grace and by the wonder of the working of the Holy Spirit, you and I, as speakers of God's word, should be able to convey the authority and the power of "thus says the Lord." And as listeners, we should leave a conference knowing that we've been impacted by the authority and power of "thus says the Lord." Not to go home unchanged. And John the Baptist is introduced to us in the first chapter of John's Gospel. He makes one thing clear. In verse 20, he says, "I'm not the Christ." John didn't know it, that the ministry of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel by John was going to be so beautifully interwoven with the I Ams of his eternal being. And yet in John chapter 1, he takes up the very title of the I Am, possibly all unconsciously, but led by the Spirit of God. And he says, I am not. When it refers to the Lord Jesus, in the Greek language, it's simply ego eimi. John's words are translated as ego uk eimi. And he put in the little word uk to make the definite declaration, I'm not the Christ, I'm not the I Am. But he went further than that. When John, the writer of the Gospel, is introducing the Lord Jesus, as you well know, he begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word. John says, I'm not the Word. John chapter 1, he says, I'm the voice. And he says, I'm not the light. And the Lord Jesus tells us in John chapter 5 why John the Baptist is not the light. He says, he's the lamp. And John says, I'm not the Messiah, I'm the messenger. And in John chapter 3, he goes on further and he says, he must increase and I must decrease. And in the previous verse, he's describing the glorious person. And he says of him, he that has the bride is the bridegroom. And John's saying, I'm not the bridegroom. I'm only the friend of the bridegroom. Moses was the first friend, the man of the shining face. And John the Baptist was the last friend, the man of the dimming lamp. Because he's bringing men to the true light. And the voice was bringing disciples to the Word. And the messenger was bringing Jews to the Messiah, or as they would say, Mashiach. And as the friend, the fading friend, fading out of the picture to leave his disciples in the glory of the presence of the bridegroom. The Lord Jesus is the Word and the true light and the Messiah, and he's our bridegroom. And as his bride shortly will go home and we'll see the glory in his face in a way that transcends anything that the Holy Spirit has ever revealed. For we shall see him face to face. And as dear John says in his first letter, chapter 3, he says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Tremendous. We're going home. And we're not just going home. I'm going to a wedding. And we're going to have a marriage in the glory. No funerals there. We're going home to a wedding. It's the one thing that eternity retains that meant something to couples on earth. He must increase. There are three musts in John chapter 3. Verse 7 is the must for the sinner. Must be born again. And I hope all you girls and everybody here, the younger ones, that you all really love the Lord Jesus. That you know him as your Savior. You must be born again. Verse 14 is the must for the Saviour. The Son of Man must be lifted up. In verse 30, transfixed by the bridegroom, he must increase, but the servant must decrease. The sinner, the Saviour, and the servant, we all have musts. And I want to ask you, my brother and sister, the Saviour put a must into his life for you. Have you really put a must into your life for him? When you come to Hebrews chapter 1, if you're using an old revised version, it begins off by saying, God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers by the prophets, in diverse portions and in diverse manners. I use the New King James, and it says, God, who spoke in various ways, various times, to the fathers, now speaks to us in his Son, in this way and in that way, on this side and on that side, in this manner and on that manner, that as Ruth, you and I might personally know, he spoke to me like so, and he continues to speak to me more also. Zechariah had a remarkable ministry. John the Baptist comes at the end of the line of what we have grown up to believe were what's called minor prophets. They were first called minor prophets way back in the days of men like Augustine. It wasn't a new invention in our kind of era. But why they ever called them minor prophets must only have been because the books tended to be shorter than the others. Was it because the content was of any less importance? But the relevance of their ministry was so powerful that when Zechariah picks up his pen to write by the Spirit of God, he used "thus says the Lord" 21 times. Haggai, in what we have in two chapters, said it 4 times. And when you compare the two books with each other, we discover that their approach really is quite different. I was going to say that Haggai and Zechariah are like the two policemen that come to your door, and one's tough and the other's tender. You know what I mean? Pippa says she knows what she means. I hope you don't. This way and that way. They had been working on building the house of God in Jerusalem. Things had gone wrong. And Zechariah and Haggai came along to encourage the people of God. And Zechariah takes up this lovely theme. And he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." And the power of that message is going to be detailed in the remainder of the 14 chapters. And it will be done this way and this way and this way the whole way through, but totally different from Haggai. And the people started to flock back under the ministry of these two men. And you go to one worker and you say, "Here, tell me. What made you come back? And the person might just blow his cheeks and say, if you'd heard Haggai, you would have come back. Yeah. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider, consider, consider. Five times in the one word was the striking of the hammer. And then he says, work, and work, and build, and it's to be built. It was blow upon blow. Zechariah doesn't even mention the word work. Doesn't even raise the word consider. But he knows that consideration is necessary. Because the word consider literally means set your heart on it. And if you're going to put your hand to the work of the Lord, your heart had better be behind it. And these men were appealing to the heart of the people of God, consider. And Haggai urges the people in such an active manner. And then comes this ministry of Zechariah. And he's just absolutely lovely, he's choice. And he showed them the man. And you might have said to somebody else, tell me, what made you come back? And the answer might just have been, I was shown the man. You know, brothers and sisters, we're always being reminded that we're living in days of decline. Numerically, that's true. There's no need for it to be true, ever, spiritually. Never. In shallower days, Christians need to be deeper. In darkening days, we need to be brighter. We need to be in the presence of the man through whom the new covenant glory of the gospel and its ministry shines. And as this world becomes less assured of things relating to God, we need to become more assured. And as the clouds obscure the necessity for God, the Christian needs to rise to remove all obscurity and show the beauty of the Lord. Zechariah, he says, I want to show you the man. And you go into chapter 3, and he says, thus says the Lord, in this way, and that way. I'm bringing forth my servant, the branch. And he goes into chapter 6. And again he says, thus says the Lord. Behold the man whose name is the branch. He shall grow up out of his place and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, even he will build the temple of the Lord. And it's the only time Zechariah mentions the word build. And he's talking about the Lord doing it, not them. He will build the temple of the Lord, and he will bear the glory. And he shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the counsels of peace shall be between them both. Behold the man. Never says consider, never urges them to build, never even lifts the word work. Zechariah's word is behold. And in the Hebrew language, he uses it 23 times in the 14 chapters. Behold the man. If you went back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, Jeremiah speaks about the branch. And God says through him, he says, there will be a righteous branch, a king. And you go into Isaiah, who uses the phrase, thus says the Lord, 35 times. Constantly bringing it before them. And as you go through his prophecy, you understand that thus says the Lord must mean he's saying it this way and that way, on this side and that side, in this manner and in that manner. That he might speak to me like so, and he might speak to me more also. And he'll take you to Isaiah 53, and he'll show you the man of Calvary. And he'll take you to other places where he'll speak about the king coming out in his glory. Who is this that comes to Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? He that is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. It is I that speak in righteousness, mighty to say. Here he is, the same man of the shining face. And he's coming out victorious in that glorious day of Isaiah 63. You go back to chapter 4, and God says through him, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. The man of the beautiful face. The man with the beautiful feet. Nail pierced for you and for me. That he might win us and attract us and keep us and empower us. That we might be a force for God. Like Othniel, the first of the judges. In the days of the bleak background of the people of God, the first man he gave was a bright man, a force. And he's asking us to be a force. But never once in the Gospels does it say, thus says the Lord. Why not? I'll tell you why. Because the branch is speaking in each of them for himself. In the Gospel by Matthew, the branch is the king. In the Gospel by Mark, the branch is the servant. In Luke, the branch is the man. And in John's Gospel, the man is God, manifested in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Then he says, all things were made by him. And without him, nothing was made. And John changes the word was. Three times at the beginning, he says the word was. Then in the next verse, he uses a different word for was. And then he goes back to the original word for was when he comes into the next verse. And the word was in the Greek language is part of ego, eimi, or the I am. You see, the I am does what the I am is. He stamps I am in all the attributes of his being, but he also stamps it on every attribute of his work. His worth bears it. His work bears it. And when John's writing at the opening of the Gospel, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, he's speaking about the presence of the I Am. Things were made, they became. The I Am never became, he always was. when you look at Isaiah, and he's constantly coming over these lovely presentations of the Lord Jesus in the whole of his long prophecy. Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. You and I could throw away our Bible if those phrases were the other way around. Thank God Isaiah never said, unto you a son is born, and unto you a child is given. The son was never born. The son is eternal. And that's what gives him the credibility and the ability to be our savior. And one of the saddest video phone calls with a young Christian just a week ago. His dad's a Baptist pastor in Burma. He contacted me just a week ago. He said, my son has been approached by Jehovah's Witnesses. And I thought about it. I said, how pointless it would be to try and answer this by an email. So I called them hoping that I could chat to them by video link. And I spoke to the young lad face to face along with his dad about the power and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose deity is denied by the teaching of the Russellites, who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. Absolute denial that Jesus is the Son of God, by which we mean he is God the Son. You know, friends, we need to open our Bibles more with other people, even with each other. When last did someone sit down with you and open the Bible just with you? I had the opportunity to do it recently. I've always been a great believer that we must physically open our Bibles and not just quote them to one another, because it will just sail past. I sat with someone not long ago and asked them to read with me just two or three verses, and I looked up and the tears were running down the young person's face. We need to help one another to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You come to the prophecy of Isaiah, you see him everywhere. And Isaiah achieves it by the leading of the Spirit of God, by doing something very lovely. He takes the phrase, thus says the Lord, and dare I say it, he embellishes it. He enlarges it. He must increase. Okay, says Isaiah, I'll show that he's increasing in me by my perception of him. And so he begins in his prophecy, and he firstly refers to him as, thus says the Lord. The next reference is, thus says the Lord God. The next reference is, thus says the Lord, your Creator. The next one is, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. Then he moves on and he says, thus says the Lord, King of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One. And finally, you come to chapter 57 and verse 15, and he says, thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, I dwell in the high and the holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and of a humble spirit. Thus says the Lord. In this way, and in that room. And he wants to appeal to us. He's the Lord. Your Lord. He's the Lord God. Your Lord God. He's your Creator. He's your Redeemer. I see, I get it. He's speaking to me in this way and in that way. In this manner and in that manner. On this side, I can't turn to the left or to the right, but I see him. He's with me on every side. And you look at him and you say, he's speaking to me like so. And I want it more also. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. That's what he says in chapter 6. And he comes away to chapter 57. He says, thus says the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity. The very same person. The Christ of God, of Isaiah 6. Still the glory of the man. When you come to the later chapters of the prophecy of Isaiah. And the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel, the Word, the Light, the Messiah, the Bridegroom, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And before I can see him lifted up there on the throne of God, he brings me to my knees at Calvary and he shows me the man who was lifted up for you and me to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. You know, I really believe he's been speaking to us today. I don't feel it at every conference. I felt it today. And he spoke through the Ulsterian, the Ulster Steve, and he spoke through the Birmingham Steve. And I hope he's still speaking. Because he put the three messages together. And I trust that over them you can write, thus says the Lord, in this way and in that. His the grief, and his the glory, his the conquest of that hour, his the shame, and his the splendor, his the weakness and the power. He the victim and the victor, he the sacrifice and son, he the man of matchless wonder, such a victory has won. His the battle of the ages, his the fight outside the gate, his the triumph from that hour, his the grand eternal weight. He the bearer of atonement, he the cleanser of my sin, he the man in his enthronement, risen conqueror, entered in, crowned with thorns and crowned with glory, suffering man and sub-sovereign Lord, died to take away my burden, lives to bring me near to God. His the work and mine the wonder, his the worth and mine the praise, his the honour, mind the worship, endless, through eternal days, because we've known the impact of thus says the Lord, in this way or in that. The Lord bless you. Amen.